Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. You are listening to This Might Be The News. My name is Rory, and this week I am joined by my friend Lauren.
Hi.
And my friend James.
Hello.
How are you both?
You tried to confuse me there. You looked at me as you said my friend Lauren, and I thought, you threw me.
Sorry, that's
the sort of professionalism Rory brings to the table, James. Keeping you on your toes.
Learn that one from Andrew Marr. So you're both well. Are you ready to... satire.
Is that what we're doing?
We're going to try.
We'll give it a go.
It's been another big week in news. So there's been Catalonia.
They might be independent.
They're kicking up a fuss.
Yeah, but then wasn't the government just like, this is in no way legally binding, like, this is just your opinion.
You've not followed the correct process if you want to leave.
Didn't do a referendum.
I think there's been a few more.
How can you do a referendum that's not sanctioned?
I'll be honest, I don't know enough about this. Right, so it's just a shoebox in a town hall. they just did hands.
In or out?
Show of hands. Who wants out?
it was at the end of the night at the pub. We're leaving. It's the only way. So we're not going to do that, thank God, because that's all we've got for the facts on Catalonia. So we'll find out what the theme of the facts is now.
Facts.
The facts. We're going to look at the Tory conference. And when I saw this in the news at the start of the week, I was like, who needs this? The Tories having another conference about themselves. It feels like only last year that we talked about it. I remember we did it in an episode.
Is it an annual thing?
It's an annual thing.
Feels like only last year. You're supposed to say it feels like only last month.
It feels like only the actual amount of time it was. It
feels like about a year, which would be about right, actually.
No, September, I remember it. But whenever I see it, I think I said this last year again, I get flashbacks of that scene from The Witches where they like lock the door and
start to peel off their masks and gloves.
But this year is impressive because it's unusual for, after a conference, the entire party to come off more unelectable. But that is what they've pulled off. They've made Labour's look like some sort of, I don't know, like Glastonbury of fun compared to what they were able to deliver. So it's been a bit of a disaster.
I mean, no one self-destructs like the Tories.
Well, they were saying that a year ago about Labour, though. I mean, Labour was imploding, trying to take down Corbyn every other month. Now the Tories have tagged in and gone, do you know what, we can do that.
Hold my beer.
Hold my beer. We can do it in a slightly more sinister, Machiavellian kind of way. So would you say it's fair to say May's had her Miliband moment?
When you say her Miliband moment, I'm thinking of the bacon sandwich moment.
Yeah, so in about the same week, there was the bacon sandwich, the him being caught under a sign saying exit when people were...
Right.
And then I think he like just took it over the line with the pillars.
Do
you remember the 10 pillars of Labour?
Didn't they literally carve their policies in stone? Yeah. They were like, this is how immutable our word is. Like, and everyone was like...
Oh, like the Ten Commandments.
Yeah, like Moses.
Right, okay.
Bite him out with a Moses style.
But I think someone... I don't quote me on this because there's a good chance I'm wrong. But I'm pretty sure
we've only read
time,
up on this year's conference, so asked something quite off-piste here, Rory.
As they were like carving them, someone was like, oh, that's... You've already broken that. Like during the sermon, they were like, shut up! just carried on.
Well, that's what they're saying about this year. Already they've rescinded, the Tories have rescinded on 40% of their... Obviously, I know this from a natty little meme on Instagram showing that they have gone back on... It was Tories 40% off because they've rescinded on dementia tax, the free school dinners, scrapping the free school dinners, grammar schools, box hunting. Mm. And that's the bulk of their...
It was all the stuff you would associate with evil Tories. They've gone, let's
kick
them all off one by one.
Get rid of all those positive things we said and let's just get cracking with fucking the poor.
Yeah, so if that is the case and the pillars, she's had an absolute shocker.
Well, because, did you watch the speech or at least read up on the speech?
Yeah, I've seen the speech. I've seen her speech.
Let's cover what happened. First bad thing.
P45.
That's probably, the icing on the cake would probably be...
In order, though, it was that, then coughing, then... Let's build up.
I mean, the cough think things. That's the only bit of this I know. So just, I will be looking. How quite lost.
You must know. So basically, some comedian who, unfortunately, I can't remember
Lee
his name.
Nelson.
Lee Nelson. No,
it was
Lee Nelson.
It was Lee Nelson.
It was Lee Nelson.
No, you're going to come across as the fool here. It was Lee Nelson.
Was it?
It was Lee Nelson from Kanye West. He did the Kanye West thing. We've talked about it on previous podcasts because I, ironically, once what's the phrase called? Just gate crashed Lee Nelson show, as listeners will be reminded. And I accidentally stumbled in as he was trying to deliver his final gag and ruined it.
So, how?
Very, very drunk at the time. Didn't mean to. So, well, let's start. So, she had this cough throughout, which kind of was, ruined it.
It really did. I mean, at one point she had to take a Strepsil off Philip Hammond to try and get over the cough.
When Spreadsheet Phil is handing you a boiled sweet live on air.
It's also, I they're more for sore throats. It's not what you want. You want the chesty cough.
Oh, she had the
whole. Well, I mean, water would have helped. I actually watched this morning because there was an ear, nose and throat specialist speaking about it.
I love how they put people in like that for this.
Not this morning, as in physically this morning before this, I watched it. It wasn't on this morning.
Okay, right.
But I was watching it more in relation to Hillary, who also has a coughing issue. And they essentially said exactly what you've said, that a Strepsil is not the go-to here. You want to do a breathing exercise to clear your throat.
I know my throat infections. I've had a few.
Oh, that's right, ladies.
Don't know where I'm going with that.
You want a man in his prime?
Probably not going to make 50.
So there was the coughing, there was the throat issue. Then Lee Nelson comes on.
Then Lee Nelson comes on, and he literally, it comes up from the bottom of the camera, and you see it's facing the audience, so you see what it is, and it's clearly marked P45. And in typical British fashion, rather than ignore it, she takes it and goes, thank you very much, and just pops it down. So at this point, she's accepted her P45 being handed to her.
She accepted the P45. Then he goes up to Boris and said, Boris gave her the P45 like you asked for.
What? I know this is maybe not the question to ask. Is he wearing a suit? Like, does he blend in?
He's fully dressed like a Tory.
Right, okay.
Got the slicked hair, glasses, dressed all blue. Goes to Boris. Boris is sort of savvy enough to not shake his hand, which is what Lee Nelson's going for, and then goes out. Obviously, the questions are, how did this guy get through?
Well, security? Yeah, so LBC did a very interesting article on how this man got in, like a little speech bit. And they were like, to be honest, though, he is actually would have slipped through all security nets because all they're scanning for at the metal detectors are guns. So a piece of paper would have got through, wouldn't have flagged anything.
But can anyone just walk into that conference up to stage? Like, is there not?
I think anyone's about allowed to be a member of the Tory party and go to the conference, but I don't know about the whole.
They don't check your badges then.
That's what I mean. Like, I would have thought, like, within like a certain perimeter of the stage, they're like, oh,
I guess he just dressed himself up as a special advisor, would have blended in to everyone.
And so, by dressing himself up as a special advisor, you said he was wearing a Tory suit and had slicked his hair. He had a blue tie and this Tory suit.
He looked like a generic geek from any kind of American sitcom.
Okay.
And
that was good enough for them?
Well, yeah, because probably like David Davis was like, oh, that's probably Hammond's, and Hammond was vice versa. That's one of, like, that's probably his advisor. And then he gets to the front, hands her that, and that was kind of the real, that's her bacon sandwich.
Yeah, that's the bacon
sandwich. And then her exit sign is when the sign behind her, which says something generic, you know, like working together for a brighter economy or whatever, starts to fall off.
Oh my god!
Letter by letter, so it started with the F, and then someone posted like by the end, it was just sort of the, like someone's bombed the countdown office. And
it was appalling. In fact, yeah.
I mean, this appalling. Is also. So, is there like conspiracy theories flying around that like Labour have sabotaged this, because this just seems so much to happen at once?
Corbyn at the back with a magnet.
Just him and Lee Nelson meeting in an alley, envelopes exchanged.
Yeah, will this do? Well, what it's led to, so it could, maybe there is a conspiracy. I mean, do you both think that having a cough and having a sign that isn't very robust is enough to be asked for you to quit?
The cough on its own, no. The sign on its own, no. But all of them in conjunction with each other, and someone getting through, and your policies being bollocks, and clearly not worth the paper they were written on, while you bang on about continuing with Brexit.
Mm.
It's like, no, she's just, this is her moment to exit. She can just back out now.
I think the coughing thing, if I'm honest, is really harsh. Like, what do we expect, just politicians, to never get ill? Like, I wouldn't have got a cough.
It is flu season as well. They're already advertising the jabs, so...
I mean, the only thing I would say to her, if she knew she was going to struggle that much, maybe, you know, they've had stand-ins before. Well, she let someone else do the debate for her, right? But this, she's saying, no, I've got to... Well,
it's the Tory party. Can't miss the Tory party conference thing.
She could have just, you know, like when they have
moved the days around.
You know, when they have the person signing next to them. Yeah. She could have just stood there and just sort of like, and given the prompts.
just delivered the whole thing in sign language.
Yeah, I mean, that, come on. And then everyone would have gone, it's inclusive, it's, you know, it's a great rebrand for them.
Have you also seen, this was the Metro's take, obviously.
Yeah.
Managed to find the good angle, where she's wearing the Frida Kahlo bracelet.
Yeah, and...
with her face on it, so like she's gone full circle and she's now supporting communism.
Wow.
This is, I feel like it is. There is a bit of gender politics at play here, isn't there? Like, would a man be getting this level of scrutiny where his watch, what would we be reading into his Patek Philippe?
Just legs it all over again, isn't it?
Yeah, it basically is. And there is a link between Hillary being scrutinised for her health and Theresa being scrutinised here. I mean, as you both and our listeners will know, I'm not a Theresa May fan in any way, but I have a bit of sympathy for her this week because this is a ridiculous set of reasons to be asked to go. Or for, like you say, all her policies are related to shit, and I still feel like she won by default because no one actually went up against her in the party, and then she had a terrible election campaign this year. But for a cough and for a
broken faulty signage.
But anyway, Grant Shapps thinks differently. Grant Shapps, are you familiar with him?
Like the name, don't know anything about him.
Good name.
He's a backbencher now, but he was chairman of the Tory party. He left because there was a scandal involving the bullying of young Tory activists, and to the point where one killed himself. On Grant's watch. He's also...
Young Tories were having a much better time at this conference because they were all out doing karaoke with the culture minister. In Manchester.
Who is the culture minister?
Can't remember his name. Mark something. Oh. But he does a lovely rendition of Queen, Don't Stop Me Now.
What was the word they used?
Exuberant.
Exuberant, that was it, yeah.
An exuberant Mark. Rendition. Sparky so hopefully, Mark. Hopefully the young Tories are having a better time of it these days.
Mm. Well, hopefully now that Grant's got his attention on bigger fish, like Theresa. So he tried to organise his own coup this week. Gosh. The post-cough coup, as it will probably be known. And it takes, do you know how many it takes to sort of start stage a queue in the Tory party? How many MPs you need to back you?
14?
48. You need 48 MPs to trigger the coup. I think that's in relation to how many MPs you've got.
Yeah.
Is that just to get it to like, we're going to revote?
Yeah, we're going to have a confident...
No confidence.
Yeah. He was able to get 20 together. So that's not great. Because again, like the Catalonia example, that's just a pub.
And we're confident that is what
happens. We fully realised this. As it's a pub with a ballot box, and at the end of the night, they just said, yeah, that's it, show of hands, we're out.
Yeah, just, this won't do.
I feel like we've just lost any Spanish listeners we had.
Very similar. So isn't there a really famous Tory pub up by the back of the Barbican? In my mind, I'm seeing Grant Shapps in the upstairs room there.
Probably the Red Lion. It's always the Red Lion.
Yeah, I think it actually might be called the Red Lion.
Most common pub name in the UK.
Yeah, so the Red Lion behind the back of the Barbican for anyone who wants to go for stage a coup.
Is a known Tory pub.
So they won. The coup didn't work, and lots of people are saying it's very complimentary to even call it a coup. But these people, they want Boris for leader. Now, Boris... He said anyone who wants a new leader is a nutter. So
I mean, it's a sad state of affairs when Boris looks like the next best, when looks like the best option,
and is also being the voice of reason. It would seem like,
and the voice of reason, and they refer to him as the lion of the party.
I mean, from a physical standpoint, sure,
it's the hair.
But Boris has been having his own week, hasn't he?
Boris spoke the day before Theresa. And he opened with some pretty discerning comments on Libya and how the city of, I'm going to pronounce this wrong, Sitra, which was bombed, and everyone who, all of the civilians that died in it were held up to be martyrs, and he said, oh, well, it could become the new Dubai once we get rid of the bodies. Yeah, so...
Ooh. That is up there with killing a Japanese school child, isn't it?
Yeah. It's up there with him hanging from the zip line.
That would have fallen on deaf ears in most rooms, but in the Tory conference, I imagine it was like, bury the bodies, bury.
It's gone down pretty badly, not least because it transpires that the conference was in Manchester, and actually the Manchester Arena bomber... And the brother that they're trying to extradite on to try them in the UK are both Libyan. So if we don't have the Libyans on side, it's very unlikely that they'll play ball for our extradition process for that. So Boris has managed to fuck that process as well.
But why would the Foreign Secretary have any of that context?
Yeah, exactly. Why would he know? How would he possibly know?
How would he piece those things together? So he's had his own problems, but unfortunately has been... I don't know what the comparison is, but he's been keeping himself to himself, making his own issues. Grant Shapps has tried to stage a coup, and the end result is everyone's gunning for Boris, saying this is all Boris's fault, and all the papers today saying May is going to have a reshuffle and Boris is going to get demoted.
But I mean, he's not doing a very good job as Foreign Secretary.
I'm really happy
that.
With him not being our like top diplomat.
So I think. Again,
we could give him Mark's job and make him culture secretary.
I think he'd have fun there. I think he'd
probably fit in more.
He was shadow culture secretary way back like in the Michael Howard days.
So really, there's time for this. All Theresa's got to do is dress this up as a promotion from those days.
Yeah, him on the karaoke game, move over Mark, you think you're good, watch this, don't stop believing.
And I'm do also the thing gonna... where you give the person that you don't really want to be doing it the quiet mic, and you take on, because all karaoke has one good mic and one bad mic, you're like, yeah, I'll share, you have that one, you have the quiet mic.
You rummage around in the wigs and inflatables, but I've got this.
But you know he'll do something like, he'll come up with a ridiculous flagship policy of like, grassroots bullying clubs for everyone.
Yeah. I mean, the country's not getting any better. That's but this is genuinely the week. It's been a terrible week for the Tories, despite them having a conference about themselves. Labour have now moved 5 points ahead. They're 5 points ahead.
Wow.
Good stats for a week, isn't it? 5 points.
That's like they took their eye off the ball.
Mm.
So,
but like we said just before we went on air, maybe it was while we were on air, when actually this time last year everyone was like, kill Corbyn, he's the worst.
Yeah.
He's managed to have a real comeback from there. So maybe this is like, May can't go any lower. She is rock bottom. So what does the comeback kid do now? How does she come back from this?
This is the point in the film where like a montage would start.
She's running up the steps with her like grey tracksuit on. Just
having stretched after stretched.
What's her husband called? What's her husband called? I've just got a minute, like him like shouting at her while she's in bed, being like, "You're out of shape, kid. Get back on that treadmill."
Oh god.
Anyway, so that is what's been going on.
I think we've covered it in more depth than usual.
Well,
I think everyone knows what happened.
Those were some facts. Thank you both.
Task Force.
We are not ones to shy away from the big issues. On this might be the news. We covered Grenfell. Did we cover any? Have we ever covered other serious issues before?
We did the tube, the failed tube bombing.
Oh yeah, maybe we did that once, maybe. Oh, that's
no, we did. We did all that. Right.
Let's not get bogged down in the back catalogue.
Just go through the archives on Apple Podcasts or whatever your favourite podcast provider is. Just search for This Might Be the News. Anyway, I've had a call. Obama.
Ooh. How is he?
Obama's called before. I do enjoy a call from Obama. He's very well.
Just by contrast to May, he's had one of the greatest weeks ever. Him and Michelle, their 25th anniversary, all the old wedding photographs being resurfaced.
Delightful.
Do look that up.
He's cool because he's had his best part of a year off, and now he's taking his attention to the fact that the US just still is addicted to guns, and this Las Vegas thing has sort of been the just the sort of the tip. What's it called? The tip of the iceberg.
Or the icing on the cake.
The icing on the cake. The straw that broke the camel's back for Obama. So this is like an awful, awful story where, I mean, the worst shooting in America in modern history, 59 people dead, hundreds and hundreds of people injured. But for those of us outside the US, leaves us thinking, why the hell do they keep on doing it? Why don't they ever change anything? And Obama, as we know, Obama was always against the guns, wasn't he? He'd always come out and say...
Yeah, if you watch... So every... Because I think there was maybe four or five mass shootings whilst he was in office. And yeah. Just every speech that he does... It's really sad to watch because he's like, I can't keep saying the same things. Like, these are going to keep happening. People expect...
We can't change nothing and expect this to stop happening. Expect a different outcome.
It's like that's, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing again and again and expecting a different outcome.
Mm. Whereas someone who does like an elephant in the room and not acknowledging what's actually happening is Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Who you may have noticed just sent warm condolences.
Warmest, I believe.
The warmest.
Yeah.
He's been doing his bit in Puerto Rico this week, though, hasn't he? So
I mean, he is just a walking PR disaster.
So Obama sort of wants to sort of pick this up, and he said, Rory, just get an outsider's take on this. How do we persuade those guys in the US to change their mind on guns? I think, James, you've been doing a bit of research on guns.
I am uncharacteristically prepared for today's segment.
Great.
Relatively speaking, obviously, compared to anyone who'd actually, done proper research, I know very little. But I thought it might be worth actually just framing the scale of the problem.
Okay.
So I did some research, and like the child I am, I just Googled America Gun Facts.
Good.
And the first website that came up was called America Gun Facts, and I thought, this seems reputable.
And I
quickly realised this was a website with a very clear agenda, which is to basically just get everyone to buy guns. So, some of the stats that I read, and I think by the third one, I was very dubious as to how legitimate. There were no sources cited, so just in bold print. So there's 270 million guns in the US.
Right.
I think that is actually probably the one that's the least controversial.
Yeah.
200,000 women a year use firearms to defend themselves.
270 million and only 200,000 use them for self-defence?
Yeah. So like that's the number of guns, and this is the number of, some people might have five or six guns.
Okay,
so,
but any argument for these are for self-defence has just fallen flat on its face when only 1% of them are stating that's what they use it for.
Well, you just wait, Lauren.
Okay.
There are way more crazy facts coming up.
Okay, I apologise to my math if that's actually 10%.
wait for this one. 3 of 5 polled felons, so not sure how they did this study, but say they won't mess with an armed victim. So I'm not sure how that question
went. This is another arms racer, like a show of hands in the pub in the prisons.
Yeah.
Would you rather rob that guy with the gun or
old lady?
Old lady handbag.
Also, that is not enough. That's still 2 out of 5 that went, yep, it's not a deterrent for me. If that's not 100%, that argument for me falls down.
I'll get him at the legs.
And then this is where I got a bit angry at this point, because then they start bringing us into it.
Oh no.
UK, case study.
Right.
The most violent country in the EU.
Is that what we're called? What?
That's what they called us on this website. And it says...
Can't get a gun for love nor money here.
Well, but this is that what they're saying. They're saying it's all knife crime. Like, if you had guns, it'd all be fine. So this is the crux of their argument.
Isn't it like guns to show knives for a pro? I mean, that's from Lock, Stock, so it's not reputable.
Let's not hold up Guy Ritchie films as the standard here for what dictates my... Well, yeah, anyway. So they say on this website that there are 2,034 violent crimes per year in the UK.
Yeah.
And only 466 in the US. Now, at this point, alarm bells are ringing for me. I then read even further and it said, in the decade following the Labour Party's election and the banning of handguns in 1997, the number of recorded violent attacks soared by 77% to 1.2 million in 07. And that's apparently more than 2 attacks every minute. So I, at this point...
As we live here, don't you think we would have heard a little bit more
1.2
about the
million. One in 60 people is getting stabbed.
We should
know.
Someone.
I know at least more than I know at least 180 people, and I would know 3 people that have been stabbed.
And how many people do you?
I've got 1,000 Facebook friends, so that's 12 stabbings I should be expecting.
All right, we've got him with the throat infections. You with 1,000 friends. God, really selling ourselves. But so, and do you know anyone that's been stabbed?
I actually do know someone who got stabbed in the neck, but he survived.
Is it pro green?
No, it was also with a key.
Yeah, okay, because that's the story. I have a friend who thought she got stabbed, but it was a corkscrew, and she just got poked a bit.
What a bar.
So anyway, at this point, I'm calling bullshit. I'm going to do my own research. So I went on the British crime statistics, and I actually found out there were 1,046 recorded violent crimes in 07. There's something called the British Crime Survey, which is more of a poll that tries to capture things that weren't recorded. Even that is still only around 2,500. So this is categorically not true. So then I went on to this justfacts.com, which I thought...
Sounds more reputable than American gun crime.
They've actually got citations and stuff for the sources. So they actually put the number of 371 million firearms, so about 100 million more, based on what they got from like manufacturer data. And there's roughly 14,249, I don't know why they put roughly there and then put a really specific number, murders were committed in the US during 2014. And of these, almost 10,000 or 68% were with firearms. So that kind of craps all over the 466 violent crimes number.
Yeah.
And again, the number that they've got for violent crimes in America is 5.9 million during 2014.
That seems more legit.
Of which 600,000 were committed by offenders visibly armed with a gun. So basically,
others were covert.
This is a big problem. And I think in terms of why this is such a big thing, so it all comes back from the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So they basically, I think the other thing is Americans hold up their constitution as like the most sacred, amazing thing that's ever been done.
Well, it's back to what Miliband was trying to do with his chips chipping into the tablets, their Moses moment.
But are they as into all the other amendments as the second one?
I think, like the Fifth Amendment.
They love that one.
The fifth one, where I don't need to speak.
That's the one where you don't have to testify.
First Amendment, free speech, they're huge on that.
Yeah,
they love the amendments.
Certainly the first five.
But I don't think there's many other countries.
Three. I feel like three's an underdog.
One is free speech, two is right to bear arms. Fifth is, that's it. I don't know three and four.
Don't be a dick, but
I'm pretty sure there's one about like religious freedom there, because that was obviously a big thing. Anyway, let's not delve into that whole thing. But
Have a week.
There's no other country that is that excited about their constitution. Like, I could not tell you anything about the British constitution, and I would happily say there's probably a lot that needs to be changed.
Magna Carta.
Is that our equivalent?
Don't know.
I was thinking stiff upper lip, as in that's the British Constitution.
That's just a phrase that we use that dictates all of our behaviour.
Keep calm and carry on.
Yeah, that's more
if they really like the Second Amendment, they'd put it on a slogan on everything. But anyway, so what do we think it's just this obsession with needing to follow the Constitution letter by letter, or what is it about guns that the US is addicted to?
I think in terms of American culture, there is a huge element of individualism, and I think they all like the idea of being very like self-sufficient and not having to rely. And again, I think fundamentally there is a mistrust of government. If you look at state government, federal government, there is much more identity on that local level. So I think there's always kind of a view that they don't ever want to be in a position where someone could come in and trample all over them. So I think that's part of what it comes down to. And then you've obviously got groups like the NRA, which I think is like the biggest or the best funded special interest group in America.
Like who they back politically is...
They've made and broken careers based on if people have said things that they dislike.
And Trump is a big ally.
I think largely he's, he's populist, right? So if people like guns, he's not going to go, guns are bad.
Mm. They've actually made concessions this week on this particular Vegas incident, which is a very rare thing. But this whole bumper thing that this guy did, where he turned it into like a fully automatic weapon, which meant that he was able to shoot so many people and such. Mm. They've said, maybe we shouldn't sell those.
Doesn't sound that firm. They've got to a maybe on one bit.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing I read, which was really ridiculous, so whenever there is a mass shooting, they always go, look, it's not the time to talk about this. Like, it's too insensitive right now. People have died. But they were happy to talk about hotel security as the big issue there. How did he get so many guns into a hotel? How did he do that? That's the problem here.
But it is ludicrous. I know two people who have like done a road trip from separate groups. They've done a road trip from like Atlanta through the South, and they were like, you could buy a gun at like just literally a glass box cabinet in the petrol station. Mm. We could have picked up a gun had we have wanted it. So there's no like But there's just there's just no common sense that's being applied to like who is getting it, what they're using it for. The Constitution is just held up as this fundamental right, and no one is actually working backwards and like, okay, well, who is actually upholding this? Why are we seeing such pockets of this? Why are we seeing such violence?
It's also out of date. It's over 200 years old, and that's talking about a militia. You no longer lead a militia when you've got the biggest military in the world. Mm. Why do you then need private citizens? But I feel like we need to get into the solutions now, don't we?
Yeah, if you guys hit me with some ideas, I need to call Barrack back in about five.
I need to call Barrack back in five. So, okay, so obviously regulation. How do they start to police who's getting a gun? And one of the things that I thought, because again, all over social media this week, you always need two or three doctors to sign off on an abortion in the US.
Oh, right, okay.
And yet, you can buy a gun very easily over the counter. So I was thinking, how could you have a process whereby there's multiple people have to sign it off? So one person signs off, like, say, you have to say, oh, I'm going to use it for fox hunting.
Yeah.
And, or bear hunting, whatever they do. And then you would need the president of your bear hunting. You need the president of the bear hunt society that you're part of to go, yep, I can verify that, signed.
I feel like you're making up a lot of titles here that don't exist.
President of the bears.
President of the bear president. King of the bears.
Bear King has to sign. Okay. If that's what they've said it's for, then like someone has to sign for your mental health. So a doctor has to sign off and say, yep, to all intents and purposes, obviously stuff could still fall through the cracks with this. Mm. And then the third is just a character witness, like a passport. They've no, they have to have a professional.
Logan, you got the Bear King. A busy man.
Also, this character witness, are they just saying, yeah, no, really good guy, definitely won't kill anyone?
No, they have to be like when someone signs the back of your passport picture, they have to have a professional qualification.
Yeah. So you've got to be a doctor, an accountant, or a teacher. Yeah, well,
because then they have been already checked by government bodies, so they are stand-up people.
I don't know if that holds up for me.
Well, this is idea one of many I've got. Yeah,
no, there's no idea is a bad idea. I think this is better than what we've got at the moment, where you can buy it. You can go, I'd like, yeah, packet of cigarettes and a gun, please.
Okay.
Do you want to chip in with yours?
What
you
got? Ideas. I've come at it from a very different angle.
Oh yeah.
I've got a few other.
Okay.
I want to seesaw between the two. The first idea I had
was, you know, just coming at it from the American mentality, what do they hate? They hate being told what to do. Mm. So I thought, what if you just make it mandatory for everyone to own a gun, and they'll be like, no, I don't want to do it now. No.
You've ruined it.
But then I thought, that's quite high risk, because
high risk.
You could
strategy.
Then just have
Are we giving guns to babies in that?
Well, I think I would probably have an age limit of like 18, 21 maybe.
But Tiffany could start making like little silver dumps, silver guns instead of rattles. That you get like baby's first gun.
They get BB guns.
BB guns was actually one of my suggestions. Can't we just own, so everyone can have all their guns, but we only sell paint rather than...
Or like rubber bullets.
Yeah, rubber bullets, but I was going to suggest paint, because it's a bit more obtuse and you look more like a dick when you've been shot with a paintball gun, like, ha.
I wonder how that would work. Like, I don't think criminals are going to go... Actually, no, we're not talking about criminals, are we?
We're talking about anyone who might want a gun.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the main... So is it mainly to get people off your property and to shoot bears?
One of the stats...
They're the key ones, I think, yeah.
I think there was 400,000 occasions where people had like fired guns in the air to scare people off. So just get like a big firework or something. Something that makes
a bang. A flare gun would do exactly the same.
There was that guy who shot at the hurricane, wasn't it?
that is the most American thing that anyone's ever done.
Amazing.
Okay, so we've got make it a rule that you have to have one to just sort of do some reverse psychology on people.
I'm worried about that one. That's not... Okay, that was my first idea.
It's not bulletproof.
No.
Cool.
There. Didn't. We've got...
regulate
the,
and have...
The triumvirate of...
Bear King.
Bear King.
Character witness. Doctor.
Doctor.
Sounds like Cluedo.
I thought the doctor was a character witness.
No, the doctor has to sign to say you're mentally stable.
Right, okay. And the he can't do the character witness. No. Okay, judge or lawyer.
Or teacher. Just someone who's been government checked.
Yeah. And then what else we've got? We've got BB guns, potato guns.
Yep. Bring back the splurge gun from Bugsy Malone is another one. Just fill it with cream. But
Bring it back.
That wasn't my next idea. That was just a sideline.
Yeah.
Then the other thing I was thinking is, do you remember at the beginning of Men in Black when Will Smith gets taken in by Tommy Lee Jones, and basically they have this whole set of aliens and it's like a street, and he ends up shooting the little girl because he was like, this guy's just working out, this guy's just driving his car, like, even though they're aliens.
Yeah.
This one, she's the one, and he gets the job, and they're like, oh great, all good. So I was thinking, could you do that situation where you put people, because the real issue with guns is that they might say it's for self-defense,
yeah,
but then really, like when a car backfires, or when they're actually,
they
find out that their wife's cheating on them or something, then they go straight to the gun. So you put people in sort of live pressure environments.
Okay, presumably not with real people in the room.
No, with like cardboard cutouts, like, yeah, you know, the classic thing.
Yeah. Or we can
and
do
you
like
see exactly
reality.
What they do. Yeah, VR would work. Yeah. Oh yeah, lovely use for VR technology. Yeah. Everyone's been struggling to work out what you could use that for.
Yeah.
So
gun tests.
Golf and gun tests.
Yeah, I like this. So it's like, what would you actually do with the gun?
Under pressure, high intensity environment, and it's dark and the noises are going.
And to do
strobe.
And to prove that point of like the NRA saying like, oh, the attack wouldn't have happened if the teachers and the kids had all had guns.
Yeah.
Right, let's put them in the situation and see, do they actually get the guy when he's attacking the school? Do the kids know what to do with the guns? Or
do they all panic and get under the desks anyway?
And then the kids shoot each other.
Shoot each other, which is the default move of any awful children.
Okay, so that was it. Live environment, high pressure.
Yeah.
I like that.
Them to actually almost trial it. But with duff guns, obviously. That's... You wouldn't give them real
with,
guns
with the,
for
with
the trial.
Splurge guns from back in the lane.
Yeah, perfect for kids, actually.
a bit of nutrition, too. Did you have any others, James?
So I sort of built off of the... So I kind of came like rebrand.
Yeah.
So because at the moment everyone loves guns, there's so much popularity there. So I thought someone needs to invest a lot of money in getting a new spokesman for guns.
This builds so well onto mine.
That everyone hates. So I came up with some people that I thought are like universally loathed. So I got Chad Kroeger from Nickelback. he was number
face
one.
Of guns.
I've made them more American focused just because obviously that's what we're talking about. Carrot Top,
the
comedian.
Awful.
Bit controversial this one, OJ Simpson.
So when I was thinking about these gun solutions, I kept coming back to Goldie Lifenchain, guns don't kill people, rappers do.
Yeah.
Which led me into Kanye being a spokesperson because everyone hates him. So if we could get them to back guns.
He's too popular. I think
okay, well, find someone else.
The Go Compare Man was my last one.
Because
he is the worst.
I love how you're like, I've gone really American on this.
That was the last
Except
one.
Except the Go Compare
Man. The Go Compare Man, I just think it would be universally irritating. Doesn't matter where you put him.
And what?
You could put him into like Peru and they wouldn't know what he was saying and they'd be like, I fucking hate him.
Whatever he's selling, I don't want.
Yeah.
It's a good plan.
We just need to find the
world's most hated man or woman.
Yeah. And then get them to just be the face of guns in America, and everyone will be like, guns aren't cool, guys.
Stephen Mulhern from
ITV. Oh, great one.
Yeah.
That's only within our group that he is so hated. Universally, no one gives a shit about Stephen Mulhern.
I know, but if they had to see more of him, they'd have strong
They knew how shit his magic was.
These are great ideas. I'm going to take these back to Barrack right now, take all the credit for them. I think using an awful spokesperson and the cream pie guns and some sort of involvement of the newly established Bear King, which I'm going to be claiming that title straight after this podcast. Thank you both for helping me with Task Force.
Quiz?
The quiz. Are you both ready?
Yeah.
I think it's a... vaguely conventional quiz this week. There is no mention of dildos or sex holes.
There's no metro question.
No metro reference to wanking.
There is one question from the metro, but it is not sex related, so you're
oh,
wow.
How strange.
This is a first.
Where did you find it?
Yeah, in the deepest, darkest
page
corner.
Of the, yeah.
I had to write my own article and post it. Question number one. Which one of the seven wonders of the world was left out of a tourism booklet in its own local area?
Lauren?
Yep.
Petra?
No.
Just a guess.
Is it the pyramids?
No, it was the Taj Mahal.
Oh. Is that a wonder of the world?
It's one of the
modern. Yeah. Oh, I was doing a ancient.
I was going to say Hanging Gardens of Babylon, and yeah, then I didn't know if that was a thing that I'd made up. Or
no, no, that is one, but it's one of the old seven, right. And now there's like doesn't new exist seven. Anymore.
Pyramids is both, isn't it? Pyramids got. Pyramids. A modern,
that's why I went pyramids. I thought safe bet.
Oh no, and Petra's still standing.
Is it?
So, also, I mean, if anything, that wasn't a very clear question from you. So you should have been which one of the seven modern wonders of the world. Just a bit of feedback for next time.
Because that's the most vague and ambiguous question I've ever asked.
Yeah. This is where we draw the line.
Question number two. According to a survey this was studied this week, which is the most likely bird in the UK to be run over on a road?
James?
Yep.
Pigeon, surely.
No, not on a road. On a road.
Duck?
No.
Owl?
No.
Robin?
I think more gamey.
James?
Yep.
Pheasant?
Pheasant.
Oh, yes!
Okay, I was going to say pheasant.
No, you weren't! We but were I have said James,
and she didn't...
Oh, God, this the system with this quiz, every week gets me.
I am okay. Unhappy about that. I was going to say pheasant.
Okay, you both get a point.
No! Yes. What?!
I trust him. I trust his face.
Oh, God, Rory!
Okay, question number three. What is the UK's fastest growing grocery product?
James.
Yep.
Aubergines.
Lauren, avocado.
No, no, no. I tell you, it's at the expense of crisps.
James.
Yep.
I didn't have anything.
I thought you said vegetable crisps.
Oh, yeah, like beetroot crisps.
No, but like think of like other things to munch on.
James, cauliflower.
What sort of sad snacks are you having?
I'm not eating, but you know, there's a big health kick, isn't
pork
there?
Scratchings.
Yeah, it's like more like a pork scratching.
Nuts.
Not nuts.
James. Is
crispy
it like,
puffs.
Like jerky or like biltong?
No.
Is it like chili rice puffs?
We're not
rice cakes.
It is. Popcorn.
Oh, fuck. Could have got that one.
Only the Americans eat more than us.
But we're doing all the like proper corn. Like, oh, it's so healthy now.
Oh, I'm sure we're
eating
there's
all some weird flavours. I had like champagne and something flavour. It was disgusting.
So just to be clear, we're on one each.
Which you're obviously incredibly bitter about. So.
Listeners are getting nervous that we're heading towards the number-based decider. question number four. What was the most popular search term on both the John Lewis and the Marks & Spencer website this week?
James.
Yep.
Romper.
No.
Christmas.
Point for Lauren.
Yes!
Fair play.
Question number five. According to the Metro, the end of the world is coming again. When is it?
James.
Yep.
I feel like they wouldn't post it unless it was quite soon.
Yeah.
Do you need the date?
Yeah, I mean, ideally give me the date. Because it's a specific date.
I am going to go with the winter solstice of this year.
Okay, so December the 25th
or whatever it is. Yeah.
Lauren?
This year? Oh, God. I'm going to go with November 17th, 2027.
Okay. It's actually October the 15th, next weekend.
Oh,
so
James wins.
Conspiracy theorist David Mead, who also predicted that the world would end on September 23rd, just gone, said this date will be the start of a seven-year tribulation which will bring mankind to an end. It will be seven
this
years.
Isn't the man who does the royals are all iguanas.
It could well be. But
do
says,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
The royals are all lizards.
Right. Yeah, he doesn't sound like a credible source.
Yeah, I know. He's not. So, anyway, neither of you got that right. So
I
somehow
was closest.
No.
I was looking for an exact answer.
No, that's fair.
So Lauren wins with 2 points to 1. Congratulations, Lauren, on winning.
That had to happen or there would have been a complete fallout after the joint point gate.
We'd never broadcast again. Thank you both for joining me for another episode of This Might Be the News. Listeners, if you found anything about this interesting, vaguely, then do contact us on thismightbethenews@gmail.com. See you all next week.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to This Might Be the News. If you enjoyed this week's episode, then we would love it if you shared it with all your friends. Even better would be reviewing it on iTunes, which will help other people find us. Cheers!